Esther, A Woman of Strength and Dignity by Charles Swindoll. Chapter 12. In the End, God Wins. This has been a book about Esther, one of the great women in the illustrious history of her people, the Jews. Clearly, she was raised up to fill a role as the Queen of Persia that proved crucial at a time when the lives of many hung in the balance. Indeed, as her mentor and faithful guardian reminded her, she attained royalty for such a time as this. What a prominent figure she was. We have found it interesting, however, that while she is highly significant in the turning points of history recorded on the sacred page of scriptures, she does not dominate every scene of the story. On the contrary, she is often eclipsed by other people and events that are interwoven through these chapters. For example, it isn't until we are well into the second chapter of the book that bears her name that we read of her for the first time. And as the story unfolds, she reappears from time to time for important reasons, only to be hidden from view again as she steps back into the shadows of the palace. Following the same pattern, she re-enters the story toward the end as she makes her requests to her husband, the king, then later as she establishes the Pyrrha Memorial, only to depart for the last time and not return through the remainder of the book. Not even her name appears in the closing chapter of Esther. Mordecai is prominent, her husband the king as well, but not Esther. Her influence, of course, continues to be felt, but that's it. She has exited before the final scene and will not be back, even for a closing curtain call. Without wanting to make more of this than is warranted, I do think it's appropriate to mention that the power of a woman, which I emphasized in my introduction, does not always require her constant physical presence. Esther quietly comes onto the scene, somewhat reluctantly allows herself to be escorted to the palace, but never really dominates any situation after becoming queen. She does step up when urged by Mordecai and plays an essential role in changing the king's thinking, no question. And when invited to give her opinion or speak her mind, Esther did so, occasionally with enormous passion. But none of this ever seemed overly aggressive or inappropriately brash. It's this elegant touch of restraint I admire as much as anything in Esther, which prompted me to borrow from Proverbs 31:25 in choosing the title for my book, Esther, A Woman of Strength and Dignity. Her strength is revealed as much in her restraints as in her responses, and her dignity as much in her humility as in her integrity. Her quiet confidence in God, her teachable trust in Mordecai, her gracious respect for Ahasuerus, her husband, are qualities that impact the story of her life, even though she herself is not filling every scene with her presence and instructions and leadership. We can only imagine her gratitude at the end of the day after encountering her husband and later confronting Haman. We can feel the heat of her patriotism as she established Purim as a Jewish celebration. And now, as we witness the climax of her story, where Mordecai is acknowledged as a man of greatness, we can imagine her smiling with true satisfaction. Why? Because God has had his way. Good has triumphed over evil. Hope has dispelled fear. What joy it must have brought to this fine woman to realize, deep within her soul, that the Lord used her to accomplish his grand and glorious plan. This is as good a time as any to state that one of the great themes of Christianity is triumphant hope. Not just hope as in a distant, vague dream, but triumphant hope, the kind of hope where all things end right. In the midst of our struggles and the storms and the sufferings of life, we can advance our thoughts beyond today and see relief, triumph, victory, because in the end, God does indeed win. Think that through. All earthly woes, all financial pressures, all emotional trauma, all physical disabilities and handicaps, all domestic conflicts, all international wars and frightening rumors of wars, all demonic oppressions and satanic attacks, all that ends, and we will be with Him who wins. And that means nothing but harmony and unity and victory and joy and praise and delight. We'll be changed down inside. We'll have new natures. We'll even have new minds. We'll have new bodies. We'll have the joy of living forever and ever in praise and adoration of our God. In the end, God comes out on top,